Welcome to Love Rules, the radio ministry of Roxbury Presbyterian Church in Boston. My mom, Liz Walker, was Boston's first African-American television news anchor, but her most important job is what she does right now at RPC, preaching the good news about God's love. The Bible says, above all, love each other deeply because love covers a multitude of sins. How does that work? Join my mom now as she offers us Love Rules from Roxbury Presbyterian Church.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Love Rules. And today's message, what's in a name? Our text today is from Exodus, the third chapter, the 7th through the 14th verses. Then the Lord said, I have observed the misery of my people who are in Egypt. I have heard their cry on account of their taskmasters. Indeed, I know their sufferings, and I've come down to deliver them from the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land to a good and broad land, a land flowing with milk and honey, to the country of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. The cry of the Israelites have come to me. I have also seen how the Egyptians oppressed them. So come, I will send you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? He said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign for you that it is I who sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God on this mountain. But Moses said to God, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? And God said to Moses, I am who I am. He said further, thus you shall say to the Israelites, I am has sent you to me. This is a great scripture. I am who I am. According to her biography, Helen Keller, who had been deaf and blind since she was a baby, went with her parents to worship at Boston's Trinity Church, where eminent preacher Philip Brooks was in the pulpit. When Helen's gifted teacher, Ann Sullivan, interpreted the first of the preacher's sermons for her, the little girl said, I knew God before you told me, only I didn't know his name. Humankind has always wrestled with the problem of knowing and naming God, the same time we've always sought God. Ancient philosophers believed God was unknowable. Many in the Jewish faith believe God is too great and humans too impure to even mention the name. But the Bible tells us to praise his name, and that is one of the ways we grow in our relationship and our knowledge of God, a God we can call by so many names, the Alpha, the Omega, our Savior, our friend. The song says there is power in the name of Jesus. The Bible tells us even demons flee when they hear that name. Sometimes we fail to realize the power of the name. We memorize Jehovah Jireh and the rest. We sing about the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. But do we really understand all that goes into the name? There's something about that name. Names are important to everybody. Parents work hard to decide on the names of babies. Businesses pay billions of dollars on branding or naming strategies. We refer to a person's reputation as her good name. Names give us meaning, connecting us to our past and to the hopes for our future. But the power of the names of God are to be understood at a totally different level. God's names are revealed by God. We don't get to choose and pick God's names. God tells us who God is. And one of the most significant revelations of God comes in the story of this encounter with Moses, because this is where God says, I am who I am. It sounds mystical, like some ancient puzzle. Now, we all know the story of Moses. It may have been one of the first stories you learned in the Bible. God had a big job for Moses. I'm sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. Moses questions whether he can do it. The conversation begins. Moses asks the question, if I come to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your ancestors has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God answers with the most profound statement in the Bible. I am who I am. Now, in Hebrew, this statement is written in four letters, Yud, He, Vav, He, which evolved into Yahweh, Jehovah. That's where it came from. You know, from those English classes, the term I am is a form of the verb to be. And in grammar, that's often considered a passive state. I am here. I am she. But anytime God is in the mix, there's something more going on. In God's grammar, this verb to be is not passive, it is self-existence. There is no one, there is nothing that caused me. Nothing can stop me. I am. I've been here, I'm gonna be here. I'm eternal. Just as we can't live forever, God can't go out of existence. While we age and die, God will never change. While we are dependent on so many things for survival, God has an independent existence. And when you think about these kind of things, you can begin to grasp the greatness of God. I am who I am. I am who I am. I just want you to meditate on that. I am who I am. I am so thankful you've joined us today. Remember, Love Rules is totally listener supported. Won't you make a donation right now to keep this program on the air? Log on to RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org and click on giving. That's RoxburyPresbyterianChurch.org. Click on giving. Thank you. God bless you. We are meditating on God's revelation, I am who I am. It's really a revealing to us who God is, what God's nature is. But there's more to this revelation. You have to look at God's name in context of this encounter. I am who I am is not passive. This is a declaration of action, God's active presence in the lives of God's people. God is telling Moses, I am going to deliver my people. It is the story of politics and social justice and a God who is sovereign over all, a God who does not want his people enslaved. But this is also the story of a personal, intimate God. Just as God has a plan for the Israelites, just as God will lead his children to freedom, God has a plan for Moses, you see. This is the God who is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Now remember, this is Moses' first encounter with God in this form and fashion. When he goes to the bush, he's simply curious. But God calls Moses by name. You know, Moses is not quite sure of who God is, but God knows Moses. He knows where he's been, and he knows where he's headed. He knows that Moses had a praying mama. He knows that Moses killed that Egyptian. He knows everything about Moses. I am who I am. The psalmist prays, O Lord, you have searched me and know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You discern my thoughts from afar. God knows us. God knows things about us that we don't even want to admit. He knows things about us that we may not even know. The idea of a God who knows us so personally and so intimately is frightening to many people, and maybe it should be. But it really is a wonderful revelation about God's salvation. That's what Paul means when he says in Romans 5:6, while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. Rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, but Jesus proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, he died. He died to set us free. He knows who we are. He knows our hearts are deceptive. He knows that we have fallen. He knows that we are weak. He knows that we stumble. But he still died for us to set us free. And you know, we are saved by grace. So there's nothing we can do for our salvation, but we still want to live for Jesus. Not to buy salvation, but in gratitude to all that Jesus is. Are you living for Jesus in every aspect of your life? If you are acknowledging and living the power of the I am who I am. When you do that, you see, you're able to more clearly understand God's vision for your life. And sometimes when I talk to young people and they say, well, what's my purpose? What's my vision? And they're thinking about a specific career. They're thinking about a specific direction. And that indeed may be what God has in mind for them. But God has a purpose for all of us to glorify God. If you don't see your life through the eyes of God, you end up suffering what a lot of people suffer from, a feeling of unworthiness, a feeling of kind of, just randomness. When God reveals himself as the I am who I am, he's offering Moses a new way to see himself. Moses is a Hebrew child who's been raised by Egyptians. Before he even gets to the heart of the conversation, he's wrestling with the issue we all wrestle with. Who am I? But God says, because of who I am, well, that's who you can be. God says, I am. I am. And so that gives you hope. That gives you promise. You are a child of God. You belong to God. And so that's your purpose, to glorify God. Now, God may have something for you to do, because he certainly had something for Moses to do. And maybe you'll be like Moses and kind of stutter and stumble your way and say, God, I can't do that. I'm not good enough to do that. That's not. But if God gives you something to do, you had better do it. I tell people, you know, God will stalk you. But God has a purpose for you to glorify him, and he will empower you to do what he wants you to do. Sometimes we as Christians only want to go so far, but God's response to us is the same as it is to Moses. I am who I am. God tells us, this is not about you, this is about me. I am omnipotent. I am omniscient. I'm all-powerful. I'm all-knowing. I promise to be with you. So don't bring me your excuses. Don't tell me you have a speech impediment. It's not about you. It's about me. You praise me. You submit to me. And remember, you're going out in my name. I am who I am. I just want to encourage you that God is not just the God of Moses and Abraham and Isaac. God is your God. God is the God of this moment, and he's concerned about how you're living right now. God wants to prepare you for glory, and you need to give God God's glory. God calls you to this moment. Who is God? Who are you? If you say you believe God is a forgiving God, then you need to start learning how to forgive. If you say Jesus is a loving Jesus, then you need to start loving too. If you say that Jesus is the light of the world, well, maybe you need to think about the light that shines in you. God is the I am who I am. What about you? Thanks for joining me. Be blessed.
Thank you for tuning in. Roxbury Presbyterian Church is located at 328 Warren Street, right in the heart of Roxbury. Come worship with us on Sundays at 11 a.m. This is a listener-supported program. We invite you to partner with us and learn the many ways that love rules. Visit us on our website, roxburypresbyterianchurch.org, or call us at 617-445-2116. Love will reign if you let love.